because I'm an adult convert, I'm so attracted to Lewis because he understood what it was like not to believe, and so do I.
This is All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. Welcome to the show. I'm William O'Flaherty, your host. I'm the author of The Misquotable C.S. Lewis, and I've also written a study guide to the Screwtape Letters called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. On today's episode, my guest is Max MacLean, someone I've previously spoken to back in 2013. At that time, the focus was on his dramatic play based on the Screwtape Letters. He's back on the show today in part because that play was presented not long ago near where I live. Another reason to have him return is since he has been my guest, I developed a friendship with him, and he did me the honor of endorsing my enhanced Screwtape study guide. Therefore, it seemed natural to have Max return to the podcast for another visit. Well, welcome back to All About Jack, Max.
Well, thank you, William. It's been, 6 years since we did our last interview?
That's right. It has been 6 years, and at that time, the only work from Lewis you were doing was the Screwtape Letters, as your production of The Great Divorce was just getting rolling, and it hadn't yet toured. And we're recording now in March of 2019, and you just finished a non-Lewis stage production in New York City, and currently Screwtape Letters is touring again after not doing so for a few years. Plus, you're currently doing a one-man show, C.S. Lewis on Stage. So with all that kind of a background, let's go ahead and start here with the fact that, without talking too much about maybe the other plays yet, what was your motivation to have Screwtape tour again, and what, if anything, has changed with the play over these last 6 years?
Well, the motivation was every time we went to any city with any of our productions, the request was to bring Screwtape back. So there was a tremendous appetite for Screwtape. And, of course, it's one of the most Lewis's most famous titles. Perhaps after Narnia, it may even be his highest-selling book. So that was the primary reason to do it. And the second, and then you asked what has changed. Well, because we have added other productions to the repertoire, and myself doing C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, we brought in another actor that I trained and directed to do Screwtape, Brent Harris, who played Scar in The Lion King, and he is such a intelligent, conscientious actor that he has embodied Screwtape in a way that is very, very satisfying to audiences.
Yes, I enjoyed him very much as well. I only had the opportunity to see the production because of where I live and the time of the year the Screwtape was around, mostly in the winter in the surrounding cities and whatnot, but it finally made it to Pittsburgh, and I had a chance to see the production. It was very good, very enjoyable. I love the adaptation. Of course, Screwtape is on stage with Toadpipe, which has very much a there's no words, but there's many vocalizations and interactions that are quite creative. In fact, I believe since a friend of mine had seen it two other times, he was noting that there's been some little tweaks even since he's seen it over the last few years. But anything major in terms of changes other than the fact that you're not playing Screwtape that you can think of, or it's pretty much just some minor adjustments?
Well, when you change the lead actor, it's going to feel different. So that's going to be a major thing. We've also had multiple actors play Toadpipe. So that also is going to adjust. But in terms of the script and the stage design, we have had three different modifications of the stage design. One was 2006, which was not very successful. Then we revamped it in 2007, which was much more successful. And then we revamped it again in 2010. But since 2010, we've been pretty consistent with what the audience audiences have experienced.
Now, we've already mentioned that C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, is currently on tour as well. Let's get that into the conversation. When approximately did you first tour with it, and how did you come about doing it?
The Most Reluctant Convert started in 2016, and the impetus for it was the fact that after doing Screwtape and after doing The Great Divorce, develop a theatrical production from the page to the stage, you really have to invest enormous amounts of study and intellectual energy to really understand Lewis's motivation in writing both Screwtape and Great Divorce in order to translate it to the theater. And in the process of doing that, what emerged for me was that both Screwtape and The Great Divorce are autobiographical to a large degree. They tell aspects of Lewis's own conversion story and his own battles with temptation and sanctification, both. And so that inspired me to understand better what was Lewis's conversion experience, because he talks about it so much in his writings. Almost so many of his books, Pilgrim's Regress, I mentioned Screwtape, Great Divorce, of course, Surprised by Joy, and even Till We Have Faces are narrative retellings of his conversion story. So I thought, let's invest an entire play on that subject. So that's what was the impetus.
And if I'm not mistaken, that there is a video now available that people can purchase. It's at least on Amazon. I don't know if it's in other places. So we want to encourage people to check that out, as well as to check your website, which we'll be talking about formally later here. But fpatheater.com, I believe, is the website for people to check out what the current tour schedule is, especially if it's not on tour, and you can get the video, or after you see it, to get the video and to help spread the word about these excellent things that Max McLean is doing. Now, speaking of excellent things that you've done, we already noted that The Great Divorce was something that was just finishing in development. It's not currently on the schedule, but since people will be listening to this down the road, and tell us some about how you adapted it and then the likelihood of it maybe touring again in the years ahead.
Well, we developed it in the fall of 2013, took a couple of years to write it, and then we toured it in 2014 and 2015 exclusively for 2 years. It had a pretty good run, and then we put it to bed, and we have decided recently to bring it back in the winter of 2019 and tour it through 2020. So we anticipate that it'll get a pretty long life in 2020.
Ah, great. Well, now let's pause and give people a chance to get to know you a little bit more. Now, I spoke with you previously, and that podcast is available as well. There'll be a link in the show notes, and there's several things that we're not going over again that people will find interesting. But one of the things we did talk about some there, but let's do it here as well, is how did you come to work in theater, and when did your faith began to play a role in your work with theater?
Yes. Well, I was an actor before I was a Christian. I'm an adult convert to Christianity in my 20s. When I came to faith in Christ, I didn't grow up in the evangelical church, so I didn't get the memo that Christians weren't supposed to be actors. But what happened was, is that I was seeing great theater. I mean, theater that really moved the heart and moved the mind. And a thought occurred to me, and I'd already experienced the power of the gospel. I knew the power of storytelling through theater. And a thought came to my mind of, how do I combine the two? So how do I integrate my faith with my work? And so that was the beginning of Fellowship for Performing Arts. And our mission is to produce theater from a Christian worldview meant to engage a diverse audience. So by that, I mean, producing theater is hard enough, especially in our competitive entertainment market where people have so many choices. To do it from a Christian worldview scares some people away because they feel like it's propaganda or it's strictly an evangelism tool. For secular people or for people that are not Christians, they're a little suspicious of that. And then thirdly, to do it for a diverse audience, you know, in our polarized political landscape, you know, where people are just kind of put in their little silos, it becomes very, very difficult. But that's what we try to do. So we produce our plays by selecting the right material, which we think has the ability to reach a diverse audience. That's why Lewis comes into play so much. And execute it to the highest levels that our budgets will allow. And that's why we're a nonprofit theater, so we can raise support to do that. And then play in mainstream settings in the great performing arts venues around the country so that it's not limited to a church audience. So that's the focus of what we do.
All right, you've already touched on what I had prepared for the next question, but I think you can go ahead and expand on it. And it was in terms of the when did Fellowship for the Performing Arts begin, and about how many people do you have involved in your company currently?
Well, if you look at our playbill and you look at all the names involved there, there's dozens of people that are employed on a contract basis to do particular jobs. But we have a dozen people at the office that work on behalf of Fellowship for Performing Arts.
Okay. And then it began when you started with Screwtape back in 2006 or a few years before that and developed?
It began in the 90s where I started doing a lot of Bible productions, which I really enjoyed doing, and they do again soon. We did an audio Bible that's called the Listener's Bible that's very, very popular. I also did productions of Mark's Gospel, which won a Jeff Award, which is Chicago Theater's highest honor for theater, and I thought that was important. That was the beginning in the 90s, so it's been around a while.
Okay. Well, speaking of the Bible, I didn't know if that's a second recording that you've done. I know the NIV Bible that you recorded. And many people, I remember hearing, since I had the honor of doing the Q&A for the Pittsburgh production, you recorded some of your Q&As, and one of the things that came up was the fact that they recognized your voice from the NIV Bible. When was that recorded, and then what was that experience like?
Well, I have recorded the Bible on five different occasions. I've recorded the NIV three different times. I've recorded the ESV and the King James. I've been asked to record other Bibles, but I spent a lot of time doing it, and my time won't allow me at the moment. So I have a lot of experience doing it. The most recent narration of the Bible was 2012.
Okay. Well, now, back to your plays I made reference to but didn't name it, but in early 2019 here, you presented A Man for All Seasons in New York City. Why did you select it, and what was the response?
Well, we, in addition to our touring productions, we also want to establish a foothold in New York City as a theater company. So we have had five seasons of plays in New York. I mean, Screwtape Letters began in New York. The Great Divorce began in New York. So did Most Reluctant Convert. So did Martin Luther on Trial. We also did a production of Shadowlands about Lewis's late life marriage to Joy David. So because we feel like New York theater is kind of the home of theater, we want to hone our skills here and then export it around the country. A Man for All Seasons was a play that had a tremendous impact on me way back in my college years. In fact, I think it was instrumental that God used it to point me into the way of to Christ, because in Sir Thomas More, you have the story of a man who had to choose between his allegiance to God, whom he loved, and his duty to his king, Henry VIII of that name. And it's the story of what happens when fierce political will collides with deep moral courage, and the collision makes for great theater. It's really about what when the worst possible thing, you know, I mean, in many ways, Moore is a type of a Christ figure, where the worst possible thing happens to the best possible person. And here's a man who is, you know, working for the good and the true, and he's decimated and destroyed. And the fact that he stands up to it, owns it, and deals with it with grace and courage, and even in the end, joy, has this extraordinary cathartic experience that reaches the audiences at a very, very deep level. So that was my experience, and that was the experience of the play. We just did it for 2 months in New York, just closed last week, and it was a tremendous experience.
Oh, good to hear. Well, now, you made reference to some of the other plays that you've done in the past that aren't currently on tour. Go ahead and touch briefly on those, the Shadowlands production, and then the Luther one, Martin Luther on Trial.
Well, Shadowlands is just a terrific play, really well written. We did that for 12 weeks in New York. It didn't tour. It's too big of a show to tour. And I'm not sure. I think it gets produced a lot on the road. We were the first revival of the show since it was nominated for Tony back in 1990. So we wanted to be the first to do it. It had a fantastic cast. Martin Luther on Trial was an original play that we commissioned to be part of the celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation in 2017. And we did tour that multiple times, and I anticipate that that will come back in the future as well. It's a terrific, very entertaining, very thought-provoking play that needs to be seen.
Oh, yes, I hope in my tour. I had studied the Protestant Reformation some in the past, and then for my local church, I went ahead and noticed there were some good materials out there, and prepared a study that I presented there and learned a lot. And it's interesting, you know, through the vehicle of the theater, things that you can learn, as well as it being entertaining. In fact, Lewis, you know, advocated about Christians, as Scripture does it as well, to be salt and light within the world. In fact, let's touch briefly then on your influence by Lewis. We talked about it in the other interview, but briefly touch on how Lewis has impacted your life.
Well, I do think that because I'm an adult convert, I'm so attracted to Lewis because he understood what it was like not to believe, and so do I. And so his experiences, he has this way to attract people that are probably literary types, artist types, academic types, with illustrations, with language, with story that captures people's imagination. And so he has become a model for me on how to articulate the Christian faith imaginatively, because that's what he did, in order to, what he says, steal past watchful dragons, which I think is a tremendous phrase that is almost required in today's academic and literary circles.
Oh, definitely, yes. And I'm glad that you are doing these kind of things. It's very exciting. I do encourage people to check out your website. Again, is mentioned it earlier, but fpatheater.com. Briefly, what are some of the things that people can find on the website? I guess it's
The main thing is you'll have our schedule, and mm-hmm. actually a little bit easier URL to use would be cslewisonstage.com. That'll get us to our website. That's pretty easy to remember, cslewisonstage.com. But we will have our schedule throughout the country for the rest of the year. There's a lot of information about what Fellowship for Performing Arts is, a Q&A about it. We have a lot of our newsletters there. So there's a lot of information about the company, but most importantly about our touring schedule, which I think would be of most interest to your audience.
All right. And again, even though we're recording here in March of 2019, and people will be listening to this later, for those who are listening to it around the time that it is released, any preview of what might be ahead? You already made reference to The Great Divorce coming back. I didn't know if there was anything else or a final encouragement for people to check out one or more of your productions.
Well, for the rest of the year, between now and the end of 2019, we will have extensive productions of both the Screwtape Letters and The Most Reluctant Convert. Like, I'm not sure when this is going to air, but I'm just looking at the next few weeks. We'll be in Houston, Charlotte, Tulsa, Kansas City, Birmingham, at Vanderbilt University. We have a college university tour as well. Chattanooga, San Antonio, Phoenix, San Diego, Midland, Odessa, Atlanta, Sacramento, San Francisco, Colorado Springs, L.A., Charlotte again with another show, Portland, and Northern Michigan. So we're getting pretty busy.
Ah, definitely, definitely. So anything that you can say at this point of any other Lewis works or other original productions or bringing back other stage plays in consideration?
Well, because of the success, I do think we'll be bringing back Mark's Gospel, which is a word-for-word retelling of the Jesus story, which was one of the early things we did, but has been requested quite a bit, and I think we will be bringing that. And we're also looking at The Most Reluctant Convert ends at his conversion to Christianity, and so there's more to tell after that, and I think we will look at perhaps another script beyond that as well.
Okay, great. We'll look forward to those other possibilities, and again, we encourage people to check out the website. You said cslewisonstage.com is probably an easier address, and that'll be in the show notes as well as a link to the previous interview. Well, Max, it's great having you again on the show.
Thank you for having me, William. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks also goes to you, the listener, for your interest in my podcast. I hope you will check out Max's website to find out when he or his production company will be in a city near you to check out one of the productions they do. As mentioned, the show notes has a direct link to the Fellowship for the Performing Arts website, along with a link to my previous interview with Max from 2013. Speaking of those notes, you can find them then at essentialcslewis.com and look for this show, but it also could be easier to locate the notes where the audio files are hosted at allaboutjack.podbean.com. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. At either location, you can find various podcasts, which typically feature interviews to authors of books about Lewis, but I've also done an occasional series about a specific Lewis essay, as well as a special series on Why Read Lewis, among other shows. You can also listen to All About Jack via iTunes. If you don't know how to do that, then check the show notes for a direct link and consider rating my show there, as well as sharing this podcast with others. Before ending, let me also remind you again about the two books I've published. The most recent is called The Misquotable C.S. Lewis. It explores 75 questionable quotations and talks about why you shouldn't share Lewis quotes unless you know he really said them. I also reveal the closest things Lewis said related to the questionable saying, which I examine, and relate the fun I had tracking the quotes down. I have also written an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters that is called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. You can learn more about that book by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Purchasing either of my books is a great way to indirectly support this podcast and to make sure it remains freely available. Also, there is a link in the show notes where you can find the latest sales on Lewis books, as well as his books in general and books related to him,
Purchasing through this link also helps support me. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.